chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. This concerns the feeding of the 5,000. Listen for the word. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "But we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets in all. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May God bless us. Reading for his word.
And we continue to hear these passages as they come to us from first the Gospel of Mark and then the Gospel of Luke. While Jesus and the disciples were eating, he took a loaf of bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And then from Luke, "As Jesus and the disciples came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." All thanks and praise be to God for his word. May God add to our hearing this day his blessing, that we may have greater understanding. Amen. This past last Sunday, a number of us from the church here went down to the Naples United Church of Christ, and we attended an interfaith service and action that was organized by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And they made a video of that, a short 3-minute video, and I want to start by showing that video.
Uno que he escogido no es más bien romper las cadenas de injusticia y desatar las correas del yugo, poner en libertad a los oprimidos y romper toda atadura.
Why fasting? Fasting intensifies our prayer because as we feel hunger and thirst, we then pray, "May we have hunger and thirst for justice."
Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are people who want crops without plowing up the ground. Right is of no sex. Truth is of no color. God is the Father of us all, and we are all brethren. We will no longer wait. That we are here to redeem the rights and humanity of farm workers.
Hoy estamos aquí rompiendo un ayuno más para la justicia, pero también para exigir a Wendy's que ya firme un acuerdo que garantice la protección de los derechos humanos y que las mujeres no tengamos que seguir sacrificando nuestra dignidad para llevar comida a nuestras familias. Hace más de 20 años que los trabajadores de Imokalee decidieron romper esas ataduras y se empezó a limpiar ese terreno de injusticia. Gracias al programa de Comida Justa, nuestras lágrimas se han secado y nuestra dignidad ya no será pisoteado. Que por primera vez las mujeres pueden trabajar libre del acoso y violencia sexual. Por muchos años las mujeres tuvimos que bajar la cabeza para alimentar a nuestros hijos. Hoy, gracias al programa de Comida Justa, podemos exigir que se nos respete y vamos a unirnos en solidaridad a otras mujeres que siguen sufriendo violencia. Vamos a luchar por aquellas que siguen bajo el yugo de la injusticia. Y sobre cómo creamos una nueva economía, una solución estructural a las operaciones inmorales en las cadenas de producción que mastican a los seres humanos. De ser testigos de fe en este momento y su determinación para unirse y pararse hombro a hombro con nosotros demuestra el mundo al que Dios anhela. Juntos es tiempo de mostrar a Wendy's que no vamos a permitir que siga apoyando el acoso o la violencia contra las mujeres, que ya no estamos solas, que estamos más fuerte que nunca en contra de la violencia.
Rouse us to use our power for the powerless, the power of how and where we spend our money, the power of which companies we reward with our business. Make us hungry and thirsty for justice, Spirit of God.
As was explained, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which is right across the street from our Presbyterian Mission Peniel in Immokalee, conducts fasts. And these are fasts that put the spotlight on the continuing struggle for human rights, even as close as Immokalee, Florida. This particular breaking of the fast happened in that interfaith service that we attended, and then there was a demonstration down at Wendy's on Highway 41 in Naples. Just so you know, the Presbyterian Church USA joined with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers years ago to boycott Taco Bell, and Taco Bell actually did agree to pay a fair price for the tomatoes that they now receive. And I was at that General Assembly in 1999 when the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, people from our church, and people from Taco Bell, Yum's Food is the parent company, stood there on the stage and celebrated the decision that was made. The PCUSA today is boycotting Wendy's for the same reason. And so as a Presbyterian church, our being there is significant because we are part of a larger denominational effort to bring fair prices so that the people can be paid a decent wage for picking the tomatoes that we use on our food at fast food places. That was the breaking of the fast last Sunday, and the number of us who were from the church here were proud to be part of what was a very diverse group of people. In the past couple of years, Ruth and I have been invited by a local Palestinian couple who got to know us because of our church's efforts in going to Palestine on three different trips to harvest olives and also to plant trees for justice purposes. They got to know us. And for the past couple of years, Abed and Abir have invited Ruth and I to their home for the breaking of the Ramadan fast. The month of Ramadan is a period of time in which Muslims begin a fast at sunup and they don't eat until after sundown, and they do that for a whole month. And they get together with friends and family and break the fast. It's a big deal for the entire month. And there's other nights where they ask friends to come, and interfaith friends to come especially, to help them break fast on one of those nights. And it's pretty cool to go to their house and sit and break fast with them after they have been fasting all day. And they offer a blessing, a Muslim prayer of blessing over the food, and then they always turn to me and ask me to say a blessing as well, to recognize our inclusiveness as God's people, regardless of the religion of which we are a part. Fasting in Old Testament Judaism can be best summed up by the passage that we can find in Isaiah 58. This is the ancient Jewish view and the ongoing Jewish view of what fast means. Is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." One of the things that Jesus was highly critical of in his ministry was the misunderstanding that some Jewish leaders his day had about fasting. They thought if they just didn't eat the food and made a big deal of it, that was plenty. And Jesus chimed in and pointed out many times that's not the fasting God is looking for, that they had to remember the ancient text of Isaiah, what Isaiah said about fasting, that indeed it's about justice. It's about reaching out to the dispossessed. It's about reaching out to those who are unhealthy and helping them become well. Christ's fast was right in league with the Jewish tradition of fasting, which meant you made a difference for the people of God in the ways that you lived. And Jesus pointed this out not only with his words, but with his action. For Christ, a fast was about doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with their God. And he got in trouble for that. The Jewish authorities often got mad at him for pointing out their hypocrisy and the fact that they treated this in a way that wasn't sacred or holy at all. What Jesus knew was that these people were under the occupation of a Roman authority that didn't care about them, didn't care about their human rights. So when we get today's passage about the feeding of the 5,000, it's a more meaningful story if we understand it in the context of what it means to break a fast. These people coming from all over Galilee, from towns and villages, to hear Jesus speak, to hear him speak about the love of God, which also meant the justice of God. And these being victims of occupation by a military force, Jesus had compassion on them and understood how deep their needs and how great their struggle was. He had compassion upon all who encountered him. Those who were sick, who came to them, he cured them. And if they were hungry, as we see in the feeding of the 5,000, he fed them. The disciples were concerned. They said, "These people, they're all here. They're from all over. Tell them to go home so they can eat at home, because they're going to starve out here." It was kind of like a fast. I mean, nobody was eating. They just followed Jesus out into the countryside and the Galilean hills, and nobody brought food, and the disciples were concerned. And Jesus said, "Well, feed them." And you know the reaction of the disciples. They were beside themselves. "What do you mean, feed them? There's 5,000 or more people here. How can we do that?" And they immediately pointed out the impossibility of doing so. And that's when Jesus took over. You see, this wasn't fasting in a formal occasion. It just so happened there was a lot of people there to listen to Jesus. They had no food and they needed to be fed. But the Isaiah fast of doing justice by healing the sick and feeding the hungry took place on that Galilean hillside that day. You know, I have participated now in two Coalition of Immokalee Workers events. The first time we marched in the streets of Immokalee. But you know what I found was, and there was a lot of people marching in the streets for human rights in Immokalee, and we were part of a big diverse crowd, and people from our church were there. You know what I found marching in the street of Immokalee is like preaching to the choir. The people living there know what they're struggling with. We don't need to point that out to them, but they were indeed feeling supported by the multicultural presence of people marching through their streets. And the second CIW event was last Sunday, as you saw on the screen, worshiping at the Naples UCC and then being outside Wendy's. And that's different than marching in Immokalee. The expressions on the faces of some of the privileged passersby were a sight to behold. And we got also honks and cheers from people who were supporting us, going down 41, shouting wonderful things to us and honking and putting up their hands for us in Naples on 41. And then one guy did yell, "Get a job!" First thing I thought was, I've got one. And the second thing I thought was, if you're talking to these folks, you wouldn't do their job. And what stood out to me the most were the faces of the children of Immokalee there with parents and relatives, demonstrating with their family, standing up for justice, and understanding that they were being supported by people they didn't even know. Indeed, this is the fast God talks to us about through the prophet Isaiah and through the ministry of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus not only broke fast on a Galilean hillside that one day by doing justice, he broke fast with the disciples at the Last Supper. That is, he opened their eyes to the injustice that he would go through on their behalf. And it was a long fast, folks. It started in that upper room. It went out to the garden. It then went to the house of Herod. It then went to the courtyard of Pilate. It then went to Calvary Hill. And then it went to the tomb. It was a long fast. But then we read in Luke about two disciples walking home after that tragic situation, going home to Emmaus. And that long fast that began at the Last Supper and continued through his crucifixion and his burial, that fast was immediately broken when Jesus broke the bread in front of them and they recognized the one whom they thought was a stranger. But it was more than just sitting at table going, wow. They were moved. They had to go back to Jerusalem. They had to connect with the disciples again. They had to proclaim the word to each other and then to the world that injustice never has the last word. And Jesus is right. And Isaiah is right. The fast that we choose is not to see how long we can go without food and be proud of ourselves, but rather, it is to loose the bonds that hold people back. It is to set the oppressed free. It is to welcome the homeless stranger. And it's to seek to bring healing to all God's suffering people. And friends, all of us start right here at Christ's communion table. For its call is to leave this table behind and go out into the world and do that justice and love that mercy and show the world how we humbly walk with God. Amen. Let us stand and say what we believe.